House of the Lord with you.
Amen.
My wife couldn't be here tonight because they turned the gas off and she had to wait till they turned it back on and everything. I think it's going to be 27 degrees tonight, so I want to make sure we're had some heat. So it's good to see y'all, Luis and family. Good to see y'all again. Amen. Let's turn over into Hebrews chapter 7. And I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. And while they're getting that up, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to you to be able to gather together and bring our little licks of fire together once again, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful for the word that we've heard in this day, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that the things that will be said tonight will be edifying and a blessing to your people. And Lord, that you'll let me just treat your little lady right. God, that something said might be helpful to deliver and to give us courage and faith to overcome a little bit more in this hour, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus, that you'll just feel welcome here tonight, Lord God, as we open the doors of our hearts, Lord, that you'll come and take up your abode with us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, quicken the word to us, Lord Jesus. Quicken the word in my lips and in the hearers' ears, Lord Jesus. And that you'll just make this service tonight not just another gathering, Lord, but something special, Lord, that when we leave this place, Lord, that the words that we've heard will echo in our hearts and cause us, Lord Jesus, to long for a closer walk with you, we pray. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Let's see. Yeah, that's more verse 1 through 3. Didn't bring any glasses with me. And it says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. And then 1 Timothy chapter 6, and instead of reading from Revelation, I'm going to read from here, because Paul's saying some things that are really good for this little message, I believe. So let's, verse 13, he says, I give thee charge. He's building up Timothy a little bit. He's telling him how he should do and everything. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, and I got that highlighted for a reason, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and holy potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. So as you might have noticed, I'm going to read some things about who is Melchizedek. But I want to title this message tonight, not who is Melchizedek, but who is this King of kings. Because I believe that, one of the things Brother Branham showed us through this message is that as God unfolds himself, he reveals, you are revealed along with Jesus Christ. And there's some things that, happen through his unfolding. I want you to pay attention now that to the things that, we just read. There's three titles that were applied to this man, this man Melchizedek. King of Kings. King of Salem, which is, I'm sorry, let me step back a second. King of Righteousness. King of Righteousness. King of Salem and King of Kings. So if you've got these three titles that are applied to this man to help us understand who exactly this is that Abraham met with and that he saw later on and then is kind of talked about all down through scripture in a very mysterious way. You know, like a lot of the denominations, they kind of probe and prod at who would be this man? What is the nature of this man, Melchizedek and everything? And you know, that's something that really, we never really could understand who Melchizedek was until Brother Branham, the message came and this message was brought to allow us to peer into, say, the back part of God's mind and see what his great hidden mystery was and to see how it would unfold us. So look at this, the King of Righteousness. God is unfolding himself, King of Righteousness, King of Peace, down to King of Kings, where he comes in authority, he comes and manifests himself in flesh, and he has dominion, because that's what a king does. A king has dominion. He has authority. He's not like a king today, if he was a ruler of a house or ruler of a city or whatever it might be, ruler of a kingdom. If somebody were in that kingdom that he didn't want to be in that kingdom, he would come along and kick them out. He wouldn't allow them to come in. So you see that as God condescends, as he's descending, what he's doing is he's conquering. He's taking over. He's booting the devil out of his kingdom. That's what his purpose is. That's what his plan is to overcome. And so if you are a king, if God makes you a king, then he's made you an overcomer as well. You see, and so when the word begins to unfold and reveal your place and your part in this mystery, then you begin to see that you are an overcomer too. See, it says in 1 Timothy, it says, which in his times he shall show. Which in his times he shall show. You know, Abraham's sitting there talking to Melchizedek as he came after the defeat of the kings, and he's sitting there across the table from him having communion. And you know, God had given him all of these promises about how all the land would be his. And a lot of the things that God promised Abraham never really saw. Abraham didn't really see all that he could walk through the land and look at it. And God told him, look to the left and the right and all this is yours. But yet he had all of these battles and things, and he would fight for the whales and fight for everywhere he went, he was constantly fighting. But yet it was his children that he raised up and the admonition of the Lord that actually saw the land become his. And then later on, as the children of Israel crossed over Kadesh Barnea and crossed into the promised land, then the land was finally theirs and they began to spread out. But Abraham didn't really see those things, the things that God had promised him. And you know, the same thing could be said of the disciples where Jesus promised them, he promised them speaking conditions. He promised them, say to this mountain, be moved. But they never really came to that, did they? Paul promised the Thessalonians. He promised them a rapture. He promised the Corinthians a body change. He promised them things that they never really saw. But in his times he shall show, in the time that he is ready to reveal it, to make it manifest, then he'll unfold it and make it known. And now is the time. Now is the time when we can look back to that King of Righteousness. We can look back and see what was written, what was promised, and we can lay claim to the things that are going to be made manifest in our life. I believe that people that are sitting here right now, some of the people are going to be present when those promises will be made manifest, will be visible. The body change, the speaking conditions, whatever you say to this mountain, whatever you ask when you pray, whatever you speak, speak it. But to know, but to be able to have access to those things, you got to know where you came from. And that's what doesn't the scripture say that the Holy Ghost, when he came, he'll show you, he'll bring things to your remembrance, and he'll show you things to come. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is showing us, is letting us look back to the promises of God. Let us look back to the things that were written. Let us look into the mysterious things that were hidden through the generations and unfold the scroll and look in and say, well, it was written. It was written of me in this day, and you can look and see your life becoming a living reality of what was promised. You can see the word being fulfilled in your life and in the lives of others. You can see God unfolding his word to the church. And that's what the King of Righteousness is. The King of Righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Rightness. The King of Righteousness is rightness, the pattern that everything has to adhere to. Everything has to match up with that pattern. Brother Bram talked about how God, back before the eternal, was Elohim, self-existing along with his attributes. All of his attributes existed within him, and he was the self-existing God, longing, waiting for those attributes to be made manifest. The King of Righteousness, God along with his attributes. You think about what was in those attributes. We know what an attribute is, like a gene. An attribute is like your DNA. That says an attribute would be like your hair color or the way that you act. The way that, you know, I can look at my children and see that they carry on some of my genes and some of my wife's genes. Some of the things that the way my family acted, some of them have, and some of the things that the way my wife's family have. And some of them are a little concoction and everything. But we're talking about the genes of God. And the genes of God are supposed to overtake the genes of man. What I was talking about, a king will boot out all the things that are not supposed to be there. And if you've got a temper, if you rile back when somebody says something to you, if you can't stand ridicule, then that DNA, it's got to overtake that somehow. That King of Righteousness DNA, the King of Righteousness, where those genes in him, he had all of these genes, all of these attributes. You know, you wonder why when he was offered, taking communion with Melchizedek, and it says there he paid tithes to Melchizedek, and Levi, who was not even born yet, a long way from being born. Isaac and Jacob were not even born yet, but it was counted to Levi. It was counted to Levi because Levi was in Abraham's genes. Levi was in Abraham's genes. What about you? If you are in God's genes, a gene waiting to be expressed, part of that word waiting to come forth. Let me go ahead and jump ahead. If you are part of God, the things that happen to God, the things that, you know, Brother Aaron preached about how you're identified with Christ. You're identified with him. When he walked on the shores of Galilee, you were there with him. When he died on the cross, when he went to hell, you were there with him. Because you're identified with him, you were in him. That attribute waiting to be expressed was inside of him. So if you know where you come from, if you know where you, if you know your origin, then you know what you've got. It gives you power to know what you've got to do in this age. It gives you power to know that you are a living manifestation of God's word. If you take one of those little attributes of God and express it, that's the Father being expressed. If you take those attributes and show it out and express it, the word is the Father expressed. And if you are the Word living and walking and moving around on two feet, then you are the Father expressed. You think about what is King of Righteousness. King of Righteousness is rightness. The attributes, the thoughts, waiting to be expressed. The attributes of Redeemer, Savior, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, all of those things in God waiting to be expressed, waiting for the moment where he could be a redeemer, sitting back waiting, watching Adam try to be a redeemer and fail, and then say, well, it's part of me to be a redeemer, and coming down and playing a part of that redeemer, killing the lamb and covering over Adam and Eve with that blood, doing all of these things, being a savior, a counselor, the Prince of Peace, that Prince of Salem, the King of Salem, the Everlasting Father, But what else was in him waiting to be expressed? Were also these attributes of ministers, ministers inside of him waiting to be expressed, deacons, song leaders, prayer warriors, somebody that would get down on their knees and call upon God until something happens. Homemakers, little people like Brother Brown talked about carrying a lunchbox where the people at work would look at them and say, that's a real Christian. That's somebody that's manifesting the Father. They might not know who that Melchizedek is, but that nevertheless is being made manifest because they are the manifestation of the living Word of God walking on 2 feet with God, using their eyes, using their hands, speaking through their lips, using their tongue. God walking on 2 feet again. You say, well, who is this Melchizedek? I hope by the end of this sermon you'll know. Who is this Melchizedek? It's God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, revealing it in flesh. Song leaders, worshipers, the church filled again with the Holy Ghost power. Those are the attributes of God and the King of Righteousness waiting to be fulfilled. And when you see those attributes manifested, then you're seeing the King of Righteousness. You're seeing God made manifest. Where did Abraham meet Melchizedek? Brother Brown talks about how Abraham was poor, but yet he was spiritually rich. He didn't have nothing of this world, living in a tent, being a nomad, going from one to place, from place to place. And, you know, I often joke about how eagles, message believers, are kind of like nomads. We're all constantly traveling, going after that word. People, when Brother Brown preached, you know, people were constantly on the road trying to get to that word. We're still nomads. We're trying to feed our soul. And he was looking, why was he a nomad? Because he's looking for that new Jerusalem. He's looking for the place where the King of Salem would reign. You think about the King of Salem reigning over that new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem typifies the bride, a bride adorned for her husband, coming down from God out of heaven. That new Jerusalem is a city where it's made up of all of these people living there under the headship of their king. Sitting there, and that's the place that where Abraham was looking for, and he wandered from place to place, and finally he met Melchizedek after the slaughter of the kings. And you know, Brother Brown talked about how that Abraham went after Lot like a good backslidden Christian. He went out chasing after him, and he fought that battle, and he slaughtered the kings. He slaughtered the kings, and then brought Lot back to the place that he had left from, and he restored to him all the things that he had lost. And then he met Melchizedek, because you can't meet Melchizedek until you've gone through a battle. You see, as God condescending, he's coming down, King of Righteousness, King of Salem, King Jesus, all the way down, and then he begins to go back up, and the whole thing is a battle. Well, Jesus on the cross was a battle. Abraham on the way to meet Melchizedek is a battle. And you and I are in a battle. We're fighting our way back into fellowship with him. You can't meet Melchizedek without a battle. I think sometimes we want everything to go just perfectly smooth without any car accidents, without any problems in our life, without any things going wrong. But you know, Brother Branham said, the Bible teaches that suffering is what brings character. You've got to have suffering. Suffering in your life molds you into a character where, because you're pressurized on the inside, you've got that power of the Holy Ghost on the inside pressing out. It molds you into somebody that trusts God, that leans upon Him, not on your own understanding, but you're leaning upon who Jesus is, the King of Righteousness. And then He blessed them. Abraham, when he met Melchizedek, Melchizedek blessed him that had been delivered of his enemies. Think about what that King of Righteousness means. In that King of Righteousness are all of your rights and privileges. All of the rights and privileges of a believer. It's where you get your confidence from. Because you look back in God's word and you say, it says this, and somebody's got to fulfill it. It might as well be me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I believe it's about time we search out what our rights are. You know, Abraham, when he was wandering around, he was looking to see what his rights were. As he went from place to place throughout the land, this is mine, and this is mine. I own this. I own this. And one day, the children of Israel, they came to Kadesh Barnea, and they sent spies into the land to search out what their rights were. They went over into Kadesh Barnea to search out what their rights were, to find out what the word said was theirs. I'm talking about speaking conditions. I'm talking about a rapture, a body change. I'm talking about things that were never seen by any of the early church, that were never manifested to them. But now it's time for that to be manifested. And how is it going to be manifested in us unless we search it out and find out whether it belongs to us? The only way we can find out whether it's ours or not is to dig into the message and dig into the tapes, get to church and be a church when you're supposed to be, and find out whether it belongs to you. Search out your rights and privileges. You know, when the children of Israel, when they finally got to the promised land, in the book of Joshua, it talks about how they sent, there were seven tribes that had not been given their inheritance yet. And they wanted to know, what's my inheritance? They had come over, what's my inheritance? And so Joshua said, go out through all the land. Go out and document where you, all, how everything is, the rivers and the mountains and the streams and all the things, the green grass, document it in what? In a 7-part book. And then bring it back to me. And so they searched out the land and they went to find out what was their inheritance. And they wrote it in a 7-part book. And now I believe it's the time when we can look into the 7-part book and we can find out what's ours or not. We can find out what our inheritance is. It's time to look into the open book because it's open. We're not looking into just any normal book. We're looking into the book of the King of Righteousness. We're looking into the book of the one that where your name was written before the foundation of the world. How are you going to know if your name's written there or not unless you go look in the book and find it? You know, they sing that song, I wonder if John saw me. I wonder if he saw me. I think it's time when we don't wonder anymore. I think it's time when we get into the book and find out for certain if he saw me over there. Why? Because it's time for us to get the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind, do you realize how astounding that is to be able to look into the mind of Christ? Not just the front part, but the back part. The back part, the thing that he wanted to unveil from before the foundation of the world. The thing which is you and I, God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you're sitting here now and being able to feast on the word and have the mind, look into his mind and fellowship with him and oneness and unity. Glory. Let me calm down for a second and read some quotes. Let's look at number one. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown said, now the true revelation of Melchizedek comes into view. What? Yep. He was God. Yep. The Word before he became flesh. Right. God, the Word, because he had to be. No one else could be immortal like him. Right. See, I had father and mother. You did too. Jesus had father and mother. But this man had no father or no mother.
Right.
Jesus had a time he started. This man didn't.
Right.
Do you see what he's saying? There's a man, there's a, that man on the inside of
right.
Jesus.
Amen.
That eternal theophany.
Right.
That never had a beginning. There was one day when that little germ cell began to develop on the inside of Mary, and that had a beginning. And then one day when he rose from the grave, that body was glorified and it was called up to the Father, and then it had no beginning or end. See, I had father and mother, you did too. Jesus had father and mother, but this man had no father or had no mother. Jesus had a time he started, this man didn't. Jesus gave his life. This man couldn't because he was life. And it's the self-same man all the time. Now there's a little mystery right there. It's the self-same man all the time. It was the self-same man before the foundation of the world. It was the self-same man when he talked to Abraham. It was that self-same man when he walked before Moses and he turned so he couldn't see his front face. He could only see his backside. It was the self-same man again when he walked on the shores of Galilee. And now it's the self-same man again veiled in his bride. It's the self-same man, the same man all the time. It's the self-same man all the time. I hope God reveals it to you. I believe he's revealing it to us. I believe we're getting something. The self-same person all the time. Notice his title, King of Righteousness. Now Hebrews 7:2, King of Righteousness and King of Peace. He has two kings. Now watch Hebrews 7:2, King of Righteousness, also the King of Peace. He has two kings there. Now since he has come in the flesh and received his body up, and Revelation 21:16, he is called the King of Kings. He is all three of them together. Why is he called the King of Kings after he's received his body up? Because now he can put his life, on the day of Pentecost, he put his life inside of the believers. And then they started that overcoming process. They became overcomers. He had already overcome. What, like we were just listening on that tape that was playing it before I come out. He's already overcome for us. But you've got an overcoming work to do too, because you've got to believe him. You've got to believe that he died and paid for your sins. You got to believe that he paid the price. You got to trust in his redemptive work. You got to trust that he paid the whole price. And you know, it seems like it's so difficult for us. We look around and we've got afflictions in our body. We've got all these things happening. We've got turmoil. To look around today, and there's so many today have problems in their minds and depression and all these things. But I believe we need to look to him. You start getting in your mind that you've had something so long that God's no longer able to deliver you, that the devil has a right to stay there. But the devil don't have a right, because you can look back into that book of the King of Righteousness and see he don't have a right to stay there. If you'll just believe, he can get kicked out. You remember Brother Branham, the Bible talks about how after 38 years, that little man at the pool of Bethesda, he was sitting there for 38 years, and maybe he had got to the point where he thought, well, I'm just supposed to stay like this. But then along came Jesus. Along came that Melchizedek. Remember the little woman that touched Jesus' garment? She had been like that for 12 years. And maybe she thought, well, it's too late. It's too late for me and my body. I've had this for so long, I'm just going to have to live with it. But then along came Jesus, and she reached out and touched his garment. And you can touch Jesus' garment right here just by hearing the word, just by sitting there in your seat. Just like that house of Cornelius, and when the word was spoken, they fell in their heart and they believed it, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to do all these things. All you have to do is just sit there in your seat and hear the word and believe it, and you can be delivered and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not by works, but it's by grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he saved us all. Where was I? Now since he has come in the flesh, let's see, he is all three of them together. See, King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. He is the King of Kings. It's all met, just like soul, body, and spirit all comes to make one. Now see how he put that in? Soul, body, spirit. Because look, he's coming down, and then he's going back up in you. After he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after he fills you with his life, then you begin the overcoming process. And you think it'll be easy and everything, but God's working his way out as you let him, as you open up the door, as you open up the door to the word, and you allow him to have complete preeminence in you. And as you allow him to have kingship and authority and dominion over you. Because what is he doing? He's taking over. He's taking over your life. He's took over your soul. Now let him take over your spirit. And then after he's took over your spirit, let him take over your body, and he'll change it. He'll make you just like his glorified body when he rose from the grave. He's changing us. Why? Because it's time. It's time. After all these thousands of years, it's time for a rapture. It's time for speaking conditions. It's time for the sons of God to be made manifest. Also, he is the Father, which was the first, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Spirit, King of Righteousness, the Spirit attribute, Theophany, King of Peace, Theophany, and in flesh, he was King of Kings, Same person. You say, why is it important for me to know all these things? Why is it important for me to have this kind of confidence to know who is this Melchizedek and all that? Seems like just kind of a lot of teaching and everything. Listen, you remember that story Brother Brown told about that slave that when he came over, he said after the before the Boer War and the Dutch were still bringing over slaves into America, and this slave, he walked with his head held high, not like the other slaves, but he was walking around carrying himself. When they asked him to do something, he didn't hem and haw. He went and did it. And he didn't act like a sluggard or a lazy bum or anything. Like, he didn't have, like you say, this old Laodicean spirit on him. But he walked with his head held high, and they began to ask, why does he walk like that? You know, the reason he walked like that is because he knew where he came from. He could look back into the book and know that his father was a king. One day he was going to be a king too. And you can look into the book. You can look back into the book of the King of Righteousness and know that you are part of that king. And because you're part of that king, you are a king too. Because he's king, the King of Kings. I think that's one of the most fantastic things, that he's not just a king by himself. But in part of him, part of that great, glorious, mystical body, is part of that, the attributes that were in him that were released on the cross when he was pierced in his side and his spirit left, and water and blood and spirit. And out from his side came kings, is what came out. It came you and me. His spirit was released and it was able to come back into the people on the day of Pentecost. The King of Kings, King of Kings. Oh my, I believe if we get a revelation of that you are a king, right, that you don't have to put up with the devil. Right, you don't have to put up with him causing you all kind of problems in your life and everything. I'm not preaching no sinless perfection like that. There's got to be suffering. There's got to be persecution. There's got to be things. You know, if you think that being a message believer will make it all easy and everything. Listen, being a message believer will make people look down on you. Being a minister will make people think you're crazy. Like Paul said, through the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. Preaching things like this, talking about the King of Righteousness and who is this Melchizedek, you're crazy. But yet, it's through the foolishness of the gospel that's given us authority and power and dominion over the things of this world. Listen, you don't have to... We used to, people would preach about cigarette smoking and all that kind of stuff, because you don't have to put up with that. There's something that gives you authority over that. And how do you get authority? You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil. Resist the devil and all that alcoholism and cigarette smoking and lust of the flesh and all that stuff will leave. Isn't that what's revealed in the seals? That he's left? That he couldn't take it anymore. That he had to leave. He had to get on his horse and get out of there. Because the word is present. And where that King of Salem is, he's got to hit the road. Let's read number 3, the Easter seal. Brother Graham said, notice God's life, which is in the Greek called Zoe, moving through them and in them, quickening their minds to his word. Now let me say it real quietly now. The Spirit of God that moves among the people quickens the mind of the person to the promise of God. See, it does it. Look, and I'm trying to show you and let you realize that I'm speaking now of the church and also quickened to life in him. Although they only was his attributes to begin with. But if God said in this day, back in the beginning, John Doe will be my servant. Millions of years ago. Now what happens? Back there before the foundation of the world, in God's thinking, in his mind, he knew John Doe would be a Christian. Back there, think about, let's make it personal. He thought of you right now this morning. I believe if one day you will accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be filled with the Holy Ghost, he thought of you. You were in him. Not just thinking, but part of him. You were an attribute waiting to be expressed. All right, let's keep going. Now John Doe was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. See, he didn't come to the world with the Holy Ghost already in him. Even though he was an attribute in him before the foundation of the world, he bypassed his theophany. He didn't come to the earth with a theophany. Just had to hit that briefly. Now John Doe was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies because he's immortal, but maybe he gets a little religious feeling. He'll go join a church. Maybe he'll join Pentecostal church. Don't know. He might join anything. But let him get under the atmosphere of God once. What's brother I'm saying? Let him get under a good feeling. What's the atmosphere of God? It's your attitude toward the Word. The Word. Not just a good feeling or something. Not just a good church service where everybody's singing songs that you like and everything. Somebody told me a few months ago they chose the church they went to because they sang the church, the song that they liked. People don't go to churches or leave churches because of the Word. It's always something silly. It's because somebody hurt their feelings or because they didn't sing songs. They didn't like the song leaders. All this kind of stuff. What about the Word? Let him get under the atmosphere of God once. See, John Doe is bound to recognize who his father is, just as that eagle recognized who the mother was. It's got to realize it. See, only that John Doe is God's attribute that become a word spoken, and then the Holy Spirit seeks that word out. Here it is. He calls him, gives him everlasting life, and brings him into the presence of God, God's word. And how, you think about this now, how does God call you? How does he call you? If there's a little piece of word up there in the mind of God waiting to be manifested, when you hear that word spoken from behind the pulpit or from off the tape, that's God calling you, and it falls into your heart and you believe it and say, that's got to be the truth. And then what did that word receive connects back to the Father. And now that God has called you back to himself. That's what God is doing now. He's, as you receive the word, he's drawing you back up to himself. He's calling you. He's drawing you by the spoken word, because the spoken word is the original seed. That's the original way. That's the original way that the world was formed, was by the word of God. And that's the way that the word of life was formed down in the womb, down in the manger of the inside of your heart. That word came to life because you heard it and believed it. And then you say, well, I've got a right to go to any other church because of songs they sing or anything like that. You have no right to leave a church. You have no right to go anywhere except where the word is preached, where the true, unadulterated word is preached. They come right from the throne of God. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you and you truly are one of God's attributes that he's spoken of, now if you're not, you'll wonder and frustrate and run here and there and everything else and never come to the knowledge of the truth. If you are one of those, the old things pass away right quick, see, and you become new and the plan of salvation is finished. You're ready to obey every word that God ever spoke of you, see, for you to do. You're ready to obey every word that God ever spoke of you to do, that ever spoke of you, because you got something to do in it. Jesus had something to do. All of these had something to do. And you've got something to do. You've got something to do. And it's not to produce it. You don't have to produce it. All you got to do is believe it. And he'll do the producing. I think that's one thing so many people think today. They got to produce it. They say, well, why? I don't see nothing happening. And they look around and don't see. It looks like nothing's really happening. But it ain't up to you to produce it. It ain't up to you to manufacture something. All it's up to you to do is believe it. You just receive that word and something will happen. I guarantee you. Something will happen because you can't help it. When the word is preached, when the word is spoken, when the word is received, the word will come up. That's the law of God. When the seed is planted in good ground, it's going to come up. It'll come up before long. And you might not see nothing down under the ground, underneath the dirt. That seed down there, something's happening though. And you just give it enough time and you'll see it come up. You'll see it made manifest. People, I don't see nothing happening. You know, that's the scary thing. If you don't see nothing happening, that means that your eyes are not looking inward. Because when I look inward, I can see. I look back like the little woman that testified. I sure ain't where I used to be. I believe when I look at myself and see, I ain't where I used to be no more. And see all the old things that I used to do. All that I used to have a horrible temper. For years, I carried this scar on my hand where I slung a fist at my brother and broke it on the wall. I had this terrible temper. But you know what? I ain't like that no more. Because God will get a hold of you and he'll change you. And you look back, I ain't like that anymore. When you look around and say, I don't see nothing happening. How can you say that? How can you say I don't see nothing happening? When you look inward and see that God is changing you from the inside out. How is he changing you? He's taking dominion over you.
He's coming in and he's booting out the devil and he's leaving himself. Well, that wasn't in my notes. You're ready to obey every word that God ever spoke of you, see, for you to do. You're submissive to his word. The contract, exactly, the abstract to the contract, the title deed belongs to you. The debts are all paid. It's all struck off. And as it was at the day of Pentecost. Oh, my. I didn't get through all this. And we're talking about that. So we remember the King of Righteousness, the King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. The King of Salem, as Jerusalem was called, was you short that down to Salem. Jerusalem, New Jerusalem is that Salem, and the King of Salem is the king over that New Jerusalem. So let's talk about that King of Salem, because this King of Salem is that King Theophany that came out of God. I remember years ago, I'd be laying on my bed and just devouring the Word. You hear about Brother Brown, you read this old things that the old sermons Brother Brown preached about how that God was that fountain of life, and out from Him came all these attributes were in Him, and then out from Him came that Logos, that light, the Logos, the King Theophany, the King of Salem came out, the King of Peace. And it was that word that came out that was, as the way he said it, the attribute of the fullness of God, the attribute of the fullness of God, the attribute of, when it was in Elohim waiting to be expressed, you could not see it, you could not understand it, but then that word stepped out and you could see exactly who he is if you could look on it with spiritual eyes. And then it was that word, theophany, because Brother Adam said God is not like just some kind of wafting spirit or something without any kind of form or anything. But that theophany had a body and it had two hands and two feet and eyes, much higher eyes than our eyes, much higher thinking than our thinking. But it was a body, a person, somebody that you could actually fellowship with, somebody that Abraham could have communion with. Somebody that Abraham could, that Melchizedek, that theophany could share part of himself with in that communion, that bread and that wine, and share some things about himself with. And that theophany began to keep coming down until he showed himself to Moses and showed himself to different ones, until finally it was veiled in the flesh of Jesus, King Jesus. Let's read about that King Theophany a little bit. I can read here. Let's look at number 5. He said, "You shall see me." That better? All right. "You shall see me now if Christ had risen from the dead, and we are given the invitation and the scripture that he promised, that we could see him, and that he would be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then would you desire to see him? Would you? If you'd raise your hands, would every Christian believe that? I would, with my hands up. I would love to see him. Well, now, how can we see him? The way we can see him is by his works. Now, he hasn't come in a corporal body yet among us. He's here in a spiritual body. You believe that? A spiritual body called the Holy Spirit. He's in the form of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God was a spirit, and all the fountain of goodness and mercy and all the good things of love, God was the center of that fountain. And then the Logos that went out of God in the beginning become what we would call a theophany, or a supernatural body. God is just not like the air, but he's in a body. Glory. Moses seen him pass and said it looked like the back part of a man and so forth. And then that same theophany was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father Christ. Now, what kind of point are you trying to make, Brother Bob? King of Righteousness, you were part of that King of Righteousness because you were one of his attributes that was waiting to be expressed. And when you heard the word preached for your day, you received it and you were connected back to that King of Righteousness. What about this King of Salem? That this King of Salem was a body with hands and feet, and you are part of that body. When Jesus was, when that theophany was on the cross, and that earthly body, that flesh was pierced, it allowed that theophany body to come out, so that it could come back in the people on the day of Pentecost. You are part of that body. You are, let me tell you how much a part of that body you are. You are so much a part of that body. When Brother Brown said that when Jesus on the shores of Galilee, when he walked, you were in that body. You were identified in that body. You were there. Well, I was talking about earlier when he went down to hell, you went to hell with him, because the same life that you now have and down in your soul, that life was there in him. That was the same life, not a different life. You weren't there as pre-existence of souls, but you were there because that same life is now inside of you. That same life. Now let's get real particular here now. When you were a kid and you went and stole something out of the cookie jar and you put your hand in there and mama got in trouble with mama. You pulled your hand out of the cookie jar and she'd say, who stole cookies out of the cookie jar? Well, my hand did. No, it was you did it. Your hand didn't do it. You did it. And so remember when we take communion, wasn't it Paul that said, discern, do you not discern the body? Discern, do you not know what the body is? When one thing afflicts one member of the body, it afflicts the whole member of the body. If one part of the body is spiritually sick, it hinders the whole body. If somebody's doing something out of place, it hinders the whole body. But what about when something good happens to the body? Because I believe when Brother Branham spoke those squirrels into existence, he's part of the body. So that happened to you and I. When Brother Branham on the shores of Galilee, when he broke the bread and fishes and everything, that happened to you and I, because we're part of that same body. Don't be looking at me like this is the foolishness of the gospel now. When one thing happens to one part of the body, it happens to the other. And so we can glory. When Brother Dale called Randall back from the grave, it happened to the body, because he's part of the body. When it happens to one part, thereby, there's no glorying at us when we lay hands on the sick and they recover. And say, well, look at me, look at the great faith I had, because it's one great, big, glorious body. God has manifested himself in the body of the church, in the body of the believers. And when God does something through one believer, he's doing it through the body, not so that we could glory or anything. Listen, if any of these ministers come up here and preach a scathing sermon that'll get us to repent, I don't say, well, goodness me, what if I could preach like that? Because it's the body. It's the body. There's no glorying over here, and there's no, it's one great big body. Don't you see that's what this is, where he started with the feet, and he's building us up to the head. It's one big body, and he's manifesting himself in us as you receive the word. One body. What's he doing, this king of Salem, the king of peace? He's the king of peace, but he's not king of peace to the devil. He's, let me say this right. Not peace to the devil. Not peaceful to the devil. To bring peace, he's bringing dominion and power and an authority into the devil's domain. Because this is the devil's domain. He's the prince and power of the air. He's, you know, he offered all these things to Jesus when he tempted him. Well, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. I'll give you this, all of this domain. But God is, he's coming down, the prince of peace, to kick out the devil. And you know, you think, well, I can have peace in this life if I just ignore that thirst that God has given me. I can have peace if I just obey the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and go out and fulfill my carnal desires and all of these kind of things. You know, there's no peace in just kind of sitting there in a daze, in a fog, staring at video games all day. There's no peace going out to the bars and the clubs and all that stuff. The only real peace comes through a relationship with the King of Peace, through Jesus Christ, because he said, I'll give you my peace. He had peace when he stood there on that fishing boat and the storm came up. When he was down in the bowels of the boat, the other disciples didn't have peace. They were wondering, how can you sleep through all this? But then he came up from the boat and he said, peace be still. And then he made that promise to us that I'll give you of my peace. What's he given us? He's given us to eat of to partake of that theophany life that's down on the inside of a real believer. Which is what? The attribute of the fullness of God. That theophany is the all in all, the attribute of everything that God is. And when he comes and puts that inside of you, then he makes you a king. Yes, sir. Yep. I'm going to jump ahead because I don't want, I know it's Wednesday night. I thought I'd be done in 30 minutes. Let's read number 8. Who was this Melchizedek? In Hebrews chapter 6, Brother Ram said, "Well, this is Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, prince of the Most High, certainly, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, that great love, that great spirit in the beginning, king of righteousness, after that, king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days or ending of life. Who was it? He never was born. He never will die. Who is it? It was God. Sure it was. And the foreshadow of the Lord Jesus certainly was. But he had to come through a woman in the order you come through a woman. And he had to come the way you come in order to bring you back to him. He had to see his condescending. He's come down from the attribute to word, theophany, to flesh. And he's taking you back. He's taking you back. Now you come in flesh. He's taking you back to restore you back from where you came from. And you say, why do I need to know where I came from? You need to know where you came from so you can know what to manifest. So that you can know what to pray for, what to ask for, what you should be doing in this life. That great Melchizedek, the manifested word and peace, his peace, when he gives it to you, it brings you joy. It brings you happiness. It brings you satisfaction. Why does it bring you joy? Because you see the old stuff, that old life being chopped away. You think about the Christian journey when you start, you start coming to church and it feels like the word can be biting as it's chopping off things from your life that shouldn't be there. And it's hurtful and things, and things are said that might make a little tender, hothouse Christian a little bit. Hurt a little bit. But then one day, Brother Brown said, this is a quote now, he said, one day you'll feel like the preacher ain't preaching at you anymore. Why? Because that's an actual quote. I'll find it if anybody needs. He said, one day you'll feel like the preacher ain't preaching at you anymore. Why? The preacher ain't preaching at you. It's the word coming across the pulpit that's cutting away at you. And there's some things in your life that ain't right. Things that, because he's molding you into the image, into that perfect masterpiece. And the closer you, what it does, it brings peace to you because I ain't like that anymore. You see your life being changed. You see your life being molded. You see sin leaving. Let me jump ahead of my nose to the King of Kings. I really don't want to keep everybody late. 1 Timothy 6. I'm trying, y'all. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 13 to 16. This is the one that I read when I started. I give thee charge, Paul to Timothy. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show. He's going to show, and it's manifesting time. It's time to show all these things. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So he's made us. So we talked about King of Righteousness, King of Salem, King of Kings. Because when he puts himself inside of you, he gives you authority over the devil. Amen. What scripture is that fulfilling? It's fulfilling that scripture where Melchizedek promised Abraham, your seed will possess the gates of the enemy. Your seed will possess the gates of the enemy. All these other scriptures that speak of how the devil would be under your feet and all these things. Listen, you don't have to put up with the devil in your life. I think now is the time where the devil is, like Brother Wade was preaching on, all those thousands and thousands of demons that went after the Jews. If now they're released on the bride, if now they're after us, how much more should we be in the word? How much more authority and dominion should we have? If God has given it to us, If it's an attribute that was written in him before the foundation of the world, now it's time for that attribute to be made manifest. It's time for us to resist the devil and not give in to him. Because look, it's story time. I'm going to get into a story. Because listen, there's a lot of kings in the Bible that could look back into the scripture and see what God said about them, like Josiah. Josiah was written there in 1 Kings. It said, just a prophet out of nowhere come up out of the wilderness, ran to the altar and said, there's going to be a little boy raised up named Josiah that's going to tear down these altars and burn the people that burn incense upon this altar. And Josiah later on in 2 Kings, a little boy 8 years old was raised up and they put a crown on his head. And I believe, now this is just me maybe, but he could look back in 1 Kings. Look back and see what that prophet had said about him. He could look back and see, well, I'm going, it's written of me to go tear down these altars. It's written of me to go destroy and to utterly purge all the land. And you know, he was just a little boy. He was just a little 8 year old boy. But you think, well, you got to be an adult or something. You got to be old to be a good Christian. No, listen, there's plenty of people, Daniel, the young people that went down into Babylon, Daniel and all the three Hebrew children, they were just young men. Right. Yeah. Daniel would lay before the Lord three times a day, and he said when they wanted him to eat all the little, the things that were prohibited for him, for them to eat, he said, we're not going to eat that, but we're going to trust in the Lord. And you think about Daniel and all the ones in the Old Testament, all the ones in the New that were young men. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be ancient to believe the gospel. But the one I want to talk about is David. Because David was the one that was taken out of the sheepcote and Samuel the prophet came and went through all of his brothers and finally got down to the one where I don't have anymore. Bring somebody, do you have anybody else? It looked like even his dad was like, no, surely not David. But they went out and brought David in and Samuel anointed him with oil. But he didn't quite enter the kingdom yet. There was a little bit of time. And because David was anointed three times before he took the kingdom. One, two, three. Three times before he took the kingdom. But look how his attitude changed. See, Brother Brown taught us how he went through some things before that anointing oil was even poured on his head. First, that bear came to attack the sheep and he gave that testimony later on. God was able to deliver me from that bear and from that lion. He was able to do those things for me like God was taking him through justification and sanctification. God was able to do that for me. But then when that anointing oil was poured on his head, he knew he was going to come to his kingship because it had been spoken for him. He was going to be, it was written of him to fulfill the kingship. He was going to be a king. And so with anything stood in his way, he approached it with authority, with dominion. Just the way a real believer has to today. How do you approach when the devil comes at you? When the devil comes at you with lies and things. I remember when the Lord first began dealing with me maybe the devil began to deal with me differently than a lot of other people. You might call it schizophrenia or something, but I began to hear voices and I would hear a voice that would tell me all day long. It would speak to me and say, you can't be a real Christian. You can't fulfill this word. This is not for you. You've already passed the day and the hour that you can be a Christian. You've already blasphemed and it will constantly rail at me and constantly. But I read in the Bible, I read in the Message where Brother Branham said, you fight back at the devil with the word. You fight back just the same way that Jesus fought back against the devil. And so I began to quote to him. I began to speak to him. You're a liar. God is still able, and I remember I read that scripture where it said, Jesus told the disciples, he said, God is able of these stones to rise up children unto me. And I would quote that back to the devil. I said, if that scripture was true back then, it's got to be true now. If God is able of these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. And so you speak back to the devil and you resist him and he'll leave you. He'll leave you alone eventually. And so that's what David did when he was confronted with Goliath. He spoke. See, Goliath was on David's territory.
David was the king over all Israel, and Goliath came in there to mess with his authority, with his dominion. And so when he came, when he saw Goliath railing at all the people, all the Israelites, he said, why has nobody else gone up against this giant? And you know, maybe sometimes when you're sitting in message churches and looking around, you wonder why has nobody else gone up? Why is nobody else trying to tackle the devil? Has nobody else gone up? Let me read, if I can find it, what he said. And David said unto Saul, thy serpent kept his, this is 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 37. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. If we could take God's word like that, if we could take God's word when we have sickness in our members, when we have things that are ailing us or whatever, take God's word when you're looking at a body change. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. That same God that was able to deliver me out of the paw of the lion, out of the hand of the lion and the bear. Sometimes I think we forget what God has done for us. I was talking to a Christian recently that he was thinking, I just can't remember the last time that God did anything for me personally. I've seen God do it all. And so you know what I did? I began to quote back to him the things that I had seen God do in his life. Sometimes we need one another to remind us of the things that have happened, because the same God that brought you out of those things before, the same God is able to deliver you from this Goliath, whatever that Goliath might be. God is able to deliver you. Listen, he's able to restore your children. He's able to bring them back. You just got to speak it. Speak it like David did. If the spoken word is the original seed, somebody's got to speak it. It might as well be you. Let's keep reading in 1 Samuel 17:44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. Listen how the devil will do. This is the devil speaking to David just like the devil spoke to me. Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And listen, David answered back with a backbone, not a little old wishy-washy word. Maybe I'll go to church this Sunday. Maybe I'll try to do the things that are required of me as a Christian. Maybe I'll do it. But he answered back with boldness, because he was a king, and you are a king. You are one of the king's kings, a child of the king. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And we read about how David ran to meet him. But look, this is how David conducted himself through all those anointings. And through each anointing, more and more of his enemies died away. At the second anointing, Saul had just died away, not at the hand of David, but it was God that cleared the way for him to become king. At the final anointing, when he became king, Ishbosheth had just passed away, and not at the hand of David. It wasn't David that did it. It's not you that has to produce it. God will do the producing. At the end of Ishbosheth's death, then all the children of Israel came and crowned David. And what was their testimony? Their testimony was said, they said, we are bone of thy bone and flesh of thy flesh. We are thy bone and thy flesh. And that sounds a lot like Adam's testimony of Eve. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. See, you've got to come to authority and dominion. But to get there, it's going to take a lot of persecution. It takes a lot of trials. It takes where people, it looks like people at church talking about you. It takes all kinds of sorrow and long nights of agonizing prayer and reading and studying and getting in the Word. And then finally you'll come forth victorious through those three anointings. The musicians can come. Because what is it? God is making himself manifest in the bride. God is manifesting himself. Who is this Melchizedek? Who is Melchizedek? He's the self-same person all down through history. He's the self-same one. He was the one that was the Word before the foundation of the world. The Son of God that spoke the world into existence. He was the one that came and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was the one that killed that lamb and put the lamb skins over him. He was the one that veiled himself under the badger skins of the wilderness, and the one that veiled himself tabernacled in Jesus Christ. And now Melchizedek is veiling himself in you, the King of righteousness, the King of Salem, and King Jesus, the King of Kings. Let's stand at our feet. Amen. I'm going to turn the service over.
I believe he believes it too. It's the time to believe who we are and where we're standing. Go ahead, brother. What we got?
The old gospel ship this evening.
Anybody have a need? The altar's
open. I have good news to bring, and that's why I sing.
about it the other day, sitting down in the woods hunting a little bit, thinking about, you know, if you say that there's nothing going on, if you say there's nothing going on, then that means you are blind, because there's no word that can be brought from the Bible. Now come and show me. You show me that can be brought from the Bible, I'll quit tonight, because there's no need of preaching. It can't be done. The Bible declares that we are His children. The Bible declares it's all we got to do is believe it. So then what's making us say nothing's taking place is that devil. It sure ain't the Holy Ghost. Now you show me the Holy Ghost that tells you anywhere nothing's going on. Come on. You can't do it because it won't work. See, you just think, little David, that sickness, he realized that could have killed him. But yet God was there. What about all these flu bugs and the things that everybody's had? When we were telling you last weekend about the brother down there that he come down with the flu, he wound up on life support. Just from what we call a flu bug. You better believe something's taking place. You better believe something is here to take place. Because it's always been here. I will be with you always. I'm going to show you just a little something. I'm just saying this. You think nothing's going on. I was sitting down in the woods hunting. The phone rang. I looked at the phone. I thought, I don't recognize that number, so I won't answer. You know. I thought, well, I better. I put it up to my ear, and I said, hello. The voice said, Poppy. I said, well, I know that. It's a voice. Got to be somebody that's related, you know, in some way to call me Poppy. Or Papa. I said, yes. I said, who is this? She said, this is Sister Anna. About that time, voices come in behind. We were on a three-way hookup between Sister Anna, my phone, and the paramedics that was on the way. You tell me how that happened. She said, I just called you to tell you to pray for him. But she had to be calling at the same time the paramedics was talking to her. You understand? We think that God is not here. He can take care of those things. Come on, as the brother said, why can't we say, you want to stay all night and listen to testimonies? Why don't we believe? It's because of our unbelief. And at least we could pray, Lord, help thou my unbelief. That should be at least our prayers, to believe. To see God is real. We've seen Him in every form that could be thought of. From the dead raised, sick healed of everything, signs and wonders, whatever. When Zach was born, come down with this, whatever what you call it, I don't know the terms or what they would call it, but he turned yellow, in other words, and they had to put him under a light and take care of it. And they called me. I was hunting. And I went to pray. I prayed for him. I said, Lord, you know, I believed it. I got back in touch with him. I said, called my wife. I said, how's he doing? She said, well, they're still wondering what this is. I said, do you think I need to come home? He said, yes, for them, you need to come. I said, I don't have to worry. He's healed. I said, but I'm coming home. From that very moment, God started changing things. Why can't we believe it? How much do you need? But to hear a message like we've heard tonight, that message is enough, because it's His word. Let's believe it. Right? Make sure you tell our brother how much you appreciate the message. Amen? Tell him that you appreciate it. We do. We certainly do. And we appreciate him. Appreciate all of the ministry. And believe in God's word. Amen. Father, we just commit everything into your hands now. Believe in you. Lord, we know that your word is true. And as that's been brought tonight to us, our brother has given his heart to us. And now we just take that and believe within our heart. All things are possible to them that believe. And thank you, Lord. Why would we doubt anything? Why would we have any thought or take a thought of saying nothing ain't going on? If we're taking one breath of air, something's going on. If we're alive today, something's going on. We're healed, something's going on. Anything that's in your realm, that's all is true. We love you and we thank you. Be with everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey and let your loving grace be there. Thank you for all things. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.